Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
One time when I was in eighth grade, I went to a high school basketball game. I was sitting with a bunch of my friends. Two rows behind us were these two girls who were high school seniors, like 4 years older than we were. One of them was the older sister of a kid who I'd been on a bunch of sports teams with. I was over at their house a lot, so she felt like she knew me kind of thing. And she and her friends were sort of jerks. And so at some point, apparently, they thought it would be funny to squirt me with perfume from where they were sitting. At first, I didn't realize what happened. I just thought there was something like wet, maybe. And then eventually, I realized what exactly was going on, and I was so embarrassed. Like, I just wanted to leave, but I didn't want to seem like a baby. And so I just sat there in the stands with hundreds of people sitting next to some of my best friends, but feeling totally alone and smelling like a woman. The author Thomas Wolfe wrote, "The whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a curious phenomenon, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence." Ask the divorcee who just moved out of his house and into his apartment. Watch the kid who walks in the cafeteria and realizes there is no one here to sit with. Talk to the parents whose hearts still ache because of their deceased child. Ask the single girl whose boyfriend just ended the engagement. Talk to the freshman whose parents just dropped him off at college and drove away. Watch the family who just got transferred from another city, all lonely. Lonely. Today we are concluding our series we've been doing called Better. Next week, by the way, we are celebrating football, and I want you to wear your team colors, your team shirts, college football, pro football, doesn't matter. Represent your team next week. Next week also is going to be one of the most important messages we have all year, and I think probably the most unique service we're going to do all year. I hope you'll be here despite the holiday. The week after that, we're starting a brand new four-week series called Should Happens. Should Happens. Should Happens. We're going to talk about how people should on us, and sometimes we should on ourselves, and how do we get free from the burden of all those expectations and live the lives we're supposed to live. But today, we're concluding Better. We've been asking, like, how do we live better lives? Is it possible that we could just, like, tweak some ways we think and some of our relationships and our attitudes in a way that might lead to a big change in our lives? And one of the things that keeps us from better is loneliness. Right? I think we've all struggled with loneliness. We can all resonate with the author of the Psalms in the Bible. The Psalms are like the song book of the Bible. He writes in Psalm 25, verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely." He writes in Psalm 102, verse 7, "I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof." Like, that was the original, it's 3 a.m., I must be lonely lyric right there. Like, Matchbox 20 stole that from this guy. Sometimes we're feeling lonely because we're literally alone, but there are other times when we can have lots of friends and be surrounded by people, and still we feel alone. There's a fascinating book by a Harvard University researcher named Robert Putnam. It's called Bowling Alone. Bowling Alone. In this book, Putnam draws on this research he's done. He's interviewed over 500,000 people over 25 years, and he reveals that today people are participating in fewer groups, don't know their neighbors nearly as well, and don't socialize with their friends nearly as often as they used to. He calls the book Bowling Alone because in the last 25 years, bowling leagues have become less and less popular, but bowling hasn't. Turns out more people are bowling now than ever. They're just bowling alone. But we are lonely people. And so the question I think we need to wrestle with if we want to live better lives is, what do we do about our loneliness? Now, if you search the interwebs, you will find remedies for our loneliness. I actually did this. I looked around, and there are all kinds of like alternative medicine and aromatherapy kind of solutions for loneliness. Check out this one. It's from livingherbal.com, and they have the following prescription for loneliness. It says, it's not uncommon for people today to have an overwhelming feeling of isolation. Many suffer from loneliness. They find themselves continually searching for a connection and loyal bond to nourish their inner selves. If you're suffering from similar feelings of solitude, three aromatic recipes can help you awaken your sense of self, calm your fear of loneliness, unfold your self-love, and provide awareness that you are full, rich, and so gifted by life. And then this website proceeds to give recipes, literal recipes, for alleviating all of your loneliness. Pour a few drops of this aromatic blend into your bathtub. Pour a few drops into the palm of your hand and breathe it in when needed during the day. And the result, the promise is, all of your feelings of loneliness will disappear. I have a hard time buying that the best solution for our loneliness is aromatic therapy. I'm hoping that maybe we can find a better answer in the Bible. And it's interesting that the problem of human loneliness is one of the first topics addressed in the Bible. Back in the very beginning, we see God creating, and it's like he's on a roll. He starts creating the world, and like it says, he created the heavens and the earth, and he said, "This is good." And then he creates the waters and the land, and he says, "This is good." And then he creates raw chocolate chip cookie dough, and he says, "This is good." I made that up. That's not in there. That's not in there at all. Then he creates animals and birds and fish, and he says, "This is good." And then he gets to the height of his creative genius. He creates a person, a man, and for the first time, we see God pause, and he says, "Oh, there's something not good here." And what wasn't good is that the man was alone. And so God creates a woman so that he has a companion, so that they can do life together. And God says, "Now that's good." What's really fascinating, if you read those first chapters of the book of Genesis, is that this first man had a great food, satisfying work, a perfect relationship with God. Yet still, the way that God evaluates his situation is not good. Not good. Why? Because the one thing that that man did not have an answer for was this problem of human loneliness. That was the problem. And just to be clear, this is not about marriage. In our culture, I think we've glorified romance so much that a lot of people feel like, if I just met Mr. Right, if I just met Mrs. Right, I would never feel lonely again. But I think too many of us know too many married couples to believe that. There are a lot of married people who still feel lonely. This isn't about having someone to share romantic evenings with. This is about having people in our lives who we're sharing life with and can help us out of our loneliness. See, the Bible says when God was creating and he created people, it says that we were created in the image of God. So we were designed in God's image, which is important to know because God has always existed in community. God exists as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They live in community. God has never been alone for a second of his eternal existence. And so when we lack close relationships, when we live outside of community, we know something's wrong because we weren't wired to be alone. I saw the results of this poll that was done by the American Animal Hospital, and it said that 54% of pet owners would choose their pet as a companion over another human being if they were stranded on a desert island. Like, I understand loving your pet, but come on, people. You're going to potentially spend the rest of your life with one other being, and you'd rather have whiskers than a close friend. It's like, Whiskers, it's our 932nd day on the island. What should we talk about today? Oh, yeah, you don't talk, do you? Hey, Whiskers, do you want to make like a checkers game out of wood and play checkers? Eh, you can't play checkers. Whiskers, do you want to try to build a boat so we can get out of here? Oh, you can't build anything, can you? I think I really underestimated the importance of opposable thumbs in picking a companion on this. Whiskers, could you at least snag me a fish? That would be cool. We were created to live in community, and Fido or Whiskers is not going to cut it for us. Even if you're introverted, even if you have some good pets, if you're missing human relationships, you are going to experience loneliness. But some of you have deep, close human relationships. You're like, I've got people who I'm sharing life with, but still you sense this loneliness inside. And I think that's important. I want to explore that because I actually believe there's different kinds of loneliness. I want to talk today about three types of loneliness. And if you have some really good, close, intimate friends, but still have this odd sense of loneliness, it may be spiritual loneliness, a longing for God. I remember back when I was in college, I had a ton of great friends, and I could be like at a party with my friends, we're having a great time, we're laughing, but for some reason, I couldn't understand, I still felt alone. It was before I was a Christian, and I just didn't understand that feeling. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you have really good human relationships, and you can't understand why you still feel this sense of loneliness. And if so, what can happen is, it's because I still feel like something's missing, is I start putting more and more pressure on those human relationships to give me what I'm missing, but it's a pressure that those relationships can't take. Have you ever been on this might just be me, I'm weird, admittedly, but have you ever been on like a really crowded elevator where like people are packed in and you look up and you see the sign that says maximum weight capacity and it's like 2,500 pounds and you start like being a carny in your head guessing everyone's weight and doing math, you're like 190, 220, 150, you're starting to add it up and you're like, oh no, we're in trouble, we may have put too much weight on this elevator. And I wonder if some of us are putting too much weight, too much pressure on our human relationships. But like some of you have a good marriage, but you still feel like your spouse isn't giving you enough. Like your marriage just can't satisfy you. Some of you have a good group of friends, but you're like, they're just not giving me enough. And so you keep wanting more and more from your spouse, from your friends, and you're demanding more, and maybe it's hurting those relationships because they can't take that much weight. The problem is that we're expecting people to meet needs in our lives that only God can meet. You're expecting your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, your friends to meet needs only God can meet. And you can't put those kind of expectations on people because only God can meet those needs. What you're experiencing is a spiritual loneliness. Listen to what the Bible says. And by the way, we put all the Bible verses on the screen for you to read. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible at home, we'd love to give you one as a free gift. At the Velcro Bar, we got Bibles that we give away, and that's our connecting place if you have any questions today or want to get connected. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the idea is that every single one of us has done things that have created distance between us and God. We've all kind of pulled away from God through our choices. And the problem is that we were made to live in a close, intimate relationship with God. But we've sinned, and it breaks off that relationship. It kind of like destroys that intimacy. And if we haven't dealt with that, there will be an emptiness in our soul. There's this ache in our hearts, and it's there to remind us that we're missing something in our lives. It's like it's always there to remind us. It's like that song, there's always something there to remind me. It's like the ultimate electric drum song, you know what I'm talking about? It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. What we're missing, that thing that is there to remind us, is a relationship with God. And what we're experiencing is spiritual loneliness. So, three kinds of loneliness I want us to think about. Human loneliness, when we're missing deep relationships with other people. What we'll call spiritual loneliness, when we're missing a deep relationship with God. But there's a third kind of loneliness we feel, and I don't think we understand maybe. It's what could maybe best be called eternal loneliness. Eternal loneliness. It comes from the reality that no matter how connected with others and with God I am in this world, I was made for another world. And so there's always going to be a desire in me for something more. God wired us to feel that way. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has put eternity in our hearts. He put eternity in our hearts. The idea is that God put this dull ache, this eternal loneliness inside of us as a constant reminder not to become too content with this world or with the things of this world. Because this is not our home. We were made for a perfect place. And so no matter how well we set up our life and set up our relationships in this world, we're always going to have a sense that something isn't quite right. Something is missing. I think a lot of us just don't understand that. Like, we still think that we can be completely happy and content in this life. And really the reason is we don't understand this life. It's kind of like going on an airplane ride. When you get on an airplane, you don't settle into that seat like it's your life, right? I mean, you know, the point of this plane is to get me from one place to another place. Now, you hope you enjoy the ride, right? You hope they've got good snacks, maybe a free movie. You don't like the turbulence. You hope the person sitting next to you isn't elbowy, right? You hope you get the ride, but you don't get too worked up about it because you know this is just temporary, right? It's the reason I'm doing this is to get me from one place to another. This airplane is not my destination. It's a ride to get me to my destination. And your life, this life, is an airplane ride. That's what the Bible says. It's an airplane ride. And so it doesn't make any sense for us to settle in like this is forever. Listen to Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." Saying that this life doesn't last forever. It gets you to another place. Yes, we want to enjoy it. Of course we do. Of course we don't like the bad parts, but we shouldn't get too worked up about any of it because this is just temporary. This is not your destination. This is not home. This is a ride to get you to your destination. When we get to our destination, that's when things really get better. That's when we start to feel totally fulfilled. That's when the dull ache of loneliness goes away forever. But until we get there, there's always going to be something in us that longs for something better because we were made for a better world. All right, so we've got this loneliness problem, maybe three kinds of loneliness. How do we deal with it? Is it aromatherapy for us? Or maybe there's something better. How do we battle loneliness and connect on a deeper level? I want to give you three questions to ask yourself, okay? And I'm hoping you really will wrestle with these. The first question is, am I lost? Am I lost? Lost in the sense of, like, here's God. Am I just kind of wandering around away from God instead of being close to intimate with God? Am I just kind of lost and wandering? And so this first question kind of leads us to come at our loneliness first and foremost as a spiritual problem, not a people problem, a spiritual problem. Perhaps to deal with loneliness, I need to allow God to deal with my lostness. And listen, all the trying in the world will not overcome the distance that we put between ourselves and God. The way it works with God is not like a balance sheet kind of thing where you go, okay, yeah, I've done some bad things God hasn't liked, and so I probably should do more good things to kind of balance it out so I can get myself back good with God. That is not the way it works at all. This is not a situation that you fix on your own. And so you ask yourself, am I lost? Again, looking at my loneliness as maybe the result of me kind of turning my back on God and wandering away from Him in life. And I realize that's not where I want to be, so I turn back to God and I ask Him, I say, God, I want to come to You. I want to be close to You. I want to be in a relationship with You. And that is exactly what God has offered to do for you through Jesus. Jesus came from heaven to earth, and He died on a cross as God's way of meeting you right where you're at and then bringing you to Him. The Bible says this, like in 1 Peter 3:18. It says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." To bring you to God. It's up to you to accept that, but you put your faith in Jesus' ability to do that. And if you do, the Bible would say that Jesus removes all of your sins and leads you back to God. And that's a one-time thing. You do that one time in your life. You decide, you know what? I want Jesus to bring me back to God. And you put your faith in Him. It's a one-time thing. It happens. But when it comes to dealing with this spiritual loneliness, it's not a one-time thing. It's an every single day, day after day after day after day after day kind of thing. See, it's possible to be a person who would go to heaven if they died today because they have put their faith in Jesus, they truly accepted Jesus, and yet still live on a daily basis at a great relational distance from God. So it's like, I'm good with God, Jesus took my sins on the cross, but I am not close to God. And if so, I will feel lonely. And we're looking for an answer to our spiritual loneliness. The answer is to be in a close relationship with God day after day by praying, by talking to God throughout my day, by reading the Bible, listening to what God has to say to me. When I blow it, instead of pretending I didn't, I confess that to God and I accept His forgiveness. That's the answer for our spiritual loneliness, and there's nothing better or more important than that. So, first question, am I lost? Okay. The second question might sound a bit offensive. I don't mean it to, but it might. But I think we need to ask it if we're going to deal with our human loneliness. So there's spiritual loneliness, but our human loneliness problem. And the question I want you to ask yourself is this. Am I lazy? Am I lazy? And here's what I mean. I think we all know that relationships take work. We know that, right? We know that. But despite knowing that, I think we still expect the relationships are going to be easy. It's like, I don't get it. Why isn't our marriage healthy? Why do we feel distant from each other? Maybe because you're lazy? Like you're not doing the things that actually make for a great marriage? Or people say, I don't understand. I've been coming here to Verve for a while, but I don't really have any friends here. Or I got into my Verve group, but I don't feel like super close to those people. It's like we expect great relationships to just happen, but they don't. You need to take some initiative and put some work in. So what happens is, like, here at Verve, someone will show up and be like, well, this is cool, I like this, and they'll start coming every week. And then after a few months, they're sitting there going, man, no one really talks to me here much, and no one really comes up to me. This church is not a very friendly place. And so they leave, go to another church, and the same thing happens. And eventually they go, this is not a friendly church either. And they go to another church, and the same thing happens. And the whole time they're like, I just want some friends, but no one ever comes up and talks to me. Okay, but are you going up and talking to people? Who are you talking to? Maybe other people are wondering why you're not coming up to them. To deal with our human loneliness issue, we need to take some relational risks so that we can have some friends, or so we can have closer friends. So I'll tell you the temptation for me, okay? You may or may not relate. It's really easy for me to have a bunch of friends, to get into a group, to have fun with a bunch of people, and not really let any of them into my life. Like we're friends, but I'm not going to tell you really personal stuff, and I'm not going to ask you probing questions because I don't really want to know your personal stuff. It just feels easier that way. Like we can just be friends, but like we don't have to get into all that because it's just easier. There's no risk. That's how I've been a lot of my life. But I've been in this Verve group now for a while, and we've taken relational risk with each other. We've gone past the surface stuff and really asked hard questions, really talked about personal stuff, and we've kind of shared life the way God intends us to. And here's what I've learned. It's better. It turns out it's actually better. And you need to take some relational risks as well. At Verve, the place where we have designed this to happen is in Verve groups. Verve groups are 6 to 16 people that meet once a week. And the idea of the group is we're going to become friends. Like it won't happen in the first meeting, but we're going to become friends. And we're going to seek God together, look at the Bible together. And so together we're going to grow closer to God. We're going to share life together. We're going to laugh together. We're going to cry together. I don't cry. But we're gonna cry together. And here's the thing. I cannot describe to you the incredible feedback we've gotten from countless people who are like, man, being in a group made my life so much better. So the reality is, Sunday morning, this service, I hope it's good. I think we get a lot out of it, hopefully. But the problem of human loneliness is not and cannot be addressed in this service. It just can't. You're not going to make friends here. It's not the way it works. It's addressed in Verve groups. And the reality is, life change happens best in groups. Maybe some of you are thinking, those groups have been together for a long time, I'd be the new person. Actually, that's not how we do groups. We restart groups every September and every February, so we're about to start groups, and they're all new. You'll be in a new group, and so that's cool, right? And so the groups are starting here in the next week or two. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, but I'm new to like all the church thing, and so I might go to a group and they might ask me like a Bible question, and I don't know the answer to those Bible questions. Nope, that's not how it works. No one's going to put you on the spot. It's a casual thing. You'll go the first day, you'll be nervous probably, and by the end you'll be like, oh, this is it? Okay, I can do this. And by the end of the second day, third day, you're going to be like, oh, this is kind of awesome. Like, this is cool. Like, we became friends so fast. I have had so many people who did not want to get in a group, and honestly, I kind of strong-armed them into a group. I'm like, no, you're going to get in one. And I brought them over to the sign-up table, and they weren't really happy with me. And they're like, fine, I'll try it. And then they come back to me later, and they're like, thank you so much for making me do that. Like, it made my life so much better. And I say, then buy me a present. Give me some gifts. I don't say that. Listen, don't let fear stop you from getting into a group. And if you're in a group, don't let fear stop you from going a little deeper. When, hey, what could we be praying for you this week? Don't say, my Aunt Ginger's arthritis. Like, talk about what's going on in your life. Like, let people in a little bit, and you'll discover it's better. Today is one of the last, 2 weeks you can sign up for groups. And so you can do that today. And I want to encourage you, do that today. At the Velcro Bar or outside the doors here, there's 2 high-top tables. There's an iPad. You can sign up there. Or you can go to verve.group, and you can sign up on your phone right now. You'll see that we have guys' group, girls' groups, mixed groups. We have groups on different days of the week, and you can kind of decide which kind of group you want to be in or what days work for you and figure out what group will fit for you. Do it. Don't make me make you. So, questions to ask yourself to battle loneliness. Am I lost? Am I lazy? And third question, am I longing? Am I longing? You know, again, we believe that if we just arrange everything right in this world, our longings can all be satisfied here. But the Bible says, no, what you're longing for is a better place. You're not longing for things that can happen in this life. And so, if you're a Christ follower, you need to realize some of my longings for God are never going to be satisfied this side of heaven. There's always going to be this deeper thing within me that's longing for a better place and a better intimacy with God that we just can't have here. And that may not feel good, like, so I'm never going to be really satisfied. That stinks. Actually, that's a really good thing. It's a confirmation that you don't belong here, that you are a spiritual being. I heard a quote once, I really like it. This person said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So we're not supposed to feel completely at home in this world. This life is an airplane ride, and we're on a journey to our final destination. And that may be hard to understand and live out, because it's like, yeah, but I have some desires for this life. I have some dreams I want to live out in this life. That's fine. But I can promise you this: if you fulfill every one of your desires and every one of your dreams comes true, it's still not going to do it for you. You'd think I'd be totally happy then. No, you wouldn't. You'd still have something inside of you that wants something else, something more, something better. Because God put eternity in your heart. And so we need to learn to be content even if some of our longings aren't fulfilled. We need to learn to have joy even if our desires are not all met. We need to learn to not try and use the things of this world and the people of this world to satisfy yearnings that can never be fulfilled in this world. So, are you feeling lonely? If so, there is something better. And if so, three questions to wrestle with. Are you lost? If so, you need to know God loves you. Like, God loves you, and he is searching for you, and Jesus died to bring you to him. All you have to do is say yes. And if you have questions about that, you want to talk to somebody about that, man, we're here for you. I would love to talk to you. There's people at the Velcro bar you could talk to. Second question, are you lazy? Maybe you need to take some relational risks. Maybe today you need to sign up for a Verve group. Give it a try. Are you? If you want, I'll push you. See me, I'll push you to the table. Third, are you longing? And so if you're longing, that's okay, because you have a longing for God. That's a good thing. We're going to give you a couple minutes to ask those questions and to make a decision. I hope you'll decide, I don't want to be lonely no more. And during this time, our band's going to play a song. And also, we have communion available on the candlelit tables around the room. Communion is a reminder of what Jesus did to bring us to God. That he loves us so much, he died for us. So communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that remind us of his body and his blood given on the cross. And it's a way that we kind of take him in and we remember what he did and we thank him for it. So if you'd like to take communion, you're welcome to do that during this song. You can get the bread and juice, bring it back to your seat, and take it when you're ready. So I'm gonna pray for us, and then we'll give you a couple minutes to pray and ask those questions. God, thank you so much that you're a God who has revealed himself to us in the Bible, and that you have shown us like what our true problems are, our true issues, and also given us answers. God, maybe some of us are feeling a little bit lost. We do not feel close to you. Maybe it's been years since we really felt close to you. Maybe we never have. And perhaps it's time to say, you know what? I am ready to come back to God. And Jesus, I need you to do that for me. I can't do that on my own. Maybe some of us have that, but we have not taken the relational risks and invested in ways that help us to have good human relationships. And we need to take a step in that direction today. Or maybe we have all of that, and we just need to realize, I'm never going to feel fully at home till I get to heaven. But man, is it cool to have the certain hope of that. Thanks, God, for loving us, and thanks for having an answer for our loneliness. Thanks for Jesus, and thanks for our communion as a reminder of what he did for us. I pray in his name, amen.